Is this is working? Yes? So can I move this? It will distract me a little bit. So any questions? I hope not. Any questions? No? Okay. I do feel like home because it's hot. It's incredible hot. I remember last time I was here in Texas. It was on Garland, Texas, on probably close to Fort Worth. I don't even remember much, but I was probably 10 years old, and I remember that time it snowed, so I didn't remember that it was that hot. But yeah, that makes me feel like home, except that there's not much humidity around, but it still does. So, and the other reason is, where we're going to the mission field is a little bit cooler. So it's like here right now. It's hot, but it's okay. You don't feel the humidity all the time. So it makes me feel like home. And if I have my wife with me, it doesn't matter where I go, I'll feel at home. So some prayer requests that we have is to pray for that God keeps working on the heart of people over there. We communicate with some of them that we have preached the gospel to them already, and they're wanting us to start the ministry already, but that God keeps working on the people's heart there. God provide us a place to make the meetings, to start the church, start the ministry, and give us all the equipment that we need, you know, chairs, everything that we need. Also that we need a new car because we had a small car, really small car, so small that if it rained too much and the street get flooded, I'll get run over by the water. Yeah, I'm not joking. It's true. It happens to me once, and the car broke down. We had to fix it. And it's something else. We are praying that God give us a really big truck, like a really big pickup, so we can move around to the mountains, visit people, and use it for the ministry. That's the goal with it. Also, pray for us that we have, in this travel back to California and finish our visits, that God protects us during the travel. My wife got scared coming here because flying from, from Albuquerque to Dallas, their plane did this. She thought, we're going to die. I said, she started crying. And I said, we're going to heaven. She said, shut up. Not yet. So, you're mean. She was angry with me all these days because I was heartless. I wasn't nice. So, I was scared, but I knew, something's, I don't know, God knows what's happening. So, for protection, pray that we can have kids. We want to have like 5 kids, probably 10. I know. We just want like 2 kids, or 3. I'm praying that God give me two. How is it in English? I forgot the word for it in English. Twins, 2 twins, but girls, 2 twin girls, and a boy. My wife says you like problems. I might do. I marry her, so. But that's okay. That's good problems. If I told the guys, if you don't like good problems and you don't like girls, then you have a problem. So, and also that when we get there, we can have also provision from God for medicines and things we need for our health. That's something we're fighting a lot. So that's all our prayer requests. I don't know if I probably... Oh, and for more people being baptized and saved. That's the main goal. So that's all the prayer requests we have. I may have something else, but when I get here, I forget about everything almost. So I have to be writing it down. So go to your Bibles to Mark chapter 16. It's a known verse, but short verse, Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And it says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Let's pray. Dear Lord, be you who speaks the word, not me. Take me away from apart and be you who talks to people's heart. Be you who express the word to touch our hearts like you did to me. Bless the service. Bless the rest of the program. In Jesus' name, amen. We see in this verse that God commands us to preach the gospel. But why we have to go to preach the gospel? Why is it so important? I have four short reasons why God commands us to deliver the good news to the people, to others. It says to do it to all creatures, to preach the gospel to all creatures around the world. And we're going to see why. The first reason that we have to preach the gospel is because of his love towards the lost souls. The love that he has toward the lost souls. We can see that on Romans 5:8. You can go to Romans 5:8. I know most of you might know it, but it says, "But God commendeth his love toward us." It says, commendeth his love. He loved the lost souls. If there is something that God loved with all his being, is the lost souls. It's the lost ones. It's those that never has been heard about him. Yeah. It's those that they're in life, living a life that are hopeless. That they think that there is nothing else more to live for. Yeah. God loves those souls that are lost. Like we can see it on John 3:16. So God so loved the world. He loved the lost. He does love them. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. First John chapter 4, 9 and 10. Verse 9 and verse 10. It says, In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be propitiation for our sin. It says that, but that he loved what? Us. We used to be lost. We used to be in darkness.
That's right.
We used to walk in a life hopeless until God showed us his love. And now we have that love. Now we live a life knowing where we're going, right? Now we live a life knowing that if we die, we go to heaven. But what about those that are still in darkness? The sad thing is that we get used to being loved by God. We get used to know that we have eternal life, but we get used so much that we forget about the lost. But God doesn't forget about the lost. That's why he sends us to preach the gospel, because he wants to remind us, hey, there's still lost people outside. And I want you to let them know that they have a Savior. That let them know that they have a Father. They have someone that wants to give them eternal life. That's why Jesus gave his own son. God gave his own son to sacrifice himself, so every sinner could be saved and have eternal life. Like it says in John 2:25, this is a promise that has given us eternal life. the same way he gave you and me eternal life. But as I said, the reason we're not cheer up on going soul winning is because we have gotten used to satisfy ourselves that I'm saved. I'm saved, I'm blessed, I'm on the right track, I'm done, and that's all that matters. And we get satisfied with ourselves. But what about the people that are near us that doesn't know about Jesus? We forget about. I was on Albuquerque. We were running because we were afraid, my wife and I were afraid to lose the the plane. I think we have done more exercise running through the airports than ever. Yeah. Running, walking. And I was talking in Spanish to my wife, and this guy talked to me. And I don't know about you, but if someone talks to you, you don't know them, you're like, okay, weirdo, I'm going to stay away from you. I don't know you. You might want to do something to me. I don't know. But he started talking to me in Spanish, so I talked to him. And the first thing that came to my mind, the Holy Spirit said, talk to him about Christ. And I have done, I have get done with myself not obeying. So I started talking to him about Christ. I said, you know Jesus Christ? Yeah, I know Christ. I'm Catholic. I'm like, okay, you believe in Jesus, right? Yes. Are you saved? Yes, I'm saved. Are you sure you're saved? Yes. You know that salvation is not through works, but through believing Jesus Christ. Put your trust in Jesus. It's like, okay. You want me to explain? He says, no, I'm fine. I was like, okay. But I'm doing my part of explaining him that he needs a Savior. Because I don't want to sit there satisfied knowing that if the plane goes down or something happens, I'll go to heaven. But what about the other people near me? God loves them too. And we have to be careful to not feel satisfied with ourselves and letting everybody know that I'm safe, but I don't care about anybody else. Because God wants us to use us to preach the gospel to others. Let others know that there is a Savior for them too. It's like having a cure for cancer, right? Let's say, let's put Pastor problem here. Let's say Pastor has the cure for cancer. Do you think it will be right if he having the cure for cancer, and most of you know that he has a cure for cancer, do you think it will be right from him not to share it to those that know that he could cure with that cure that he has? You know, that's the same thing is happening to us right now. Right. We have the cure for the cancer of sin. But we're not sharing it. Because we're being selfish. Satisfied that I have the eternal life. I have the cure and it's only for me. But God's all, that's why he sends us to preach the gospel. So we can share the cure, the eternal life to others. The other reason is, the reason he sends us is for his mercy. Go to Luke 23, the book of Luke. How you say it? Luke? I don't know what I'm looking for. Luke, right? How is it? Can somebody say it for me? Luke, okay. Luke Skywalker, okay. That's it. Luke. Chapter 23. Let's see if I find it. Every time I'm preaching, I forget where the books are. I get nervous. Chapter 23, verse 33 to 34. Okay, I have it here. 33 and 34 says, and when they were came to the place, which is called Calvary, this is when they were going to crucify Jesus the Lord. They crucified him, and the malefactors on the right hand and the other one on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. So this phrase here where it says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I see in this phrase mercy from God. He was beaten. He was spit. He was punched. He was, how you say, with the whip, right? His beard was taken off. And he was been, it says that they took his garment and they even cast lots. And although they were doing all these things against him, he says, Father, forgive them. That's mercy. That's mercy because Jesus could just walk away from it and punish us all. But he has mercy because he loves us so much. He said, Father, forgive them. The only way you can forgive someone that's doing something against you if you are merciful. That's the reason why we have to go to preach to every country, to every sinner. That's the reason I have to go to Panama and preach to this place in Cold Boquerón, this district, this town, this little place that's like a countryside where people are with their cows and their sheep and their whatever they smell like, poop all day. That's why I have to go to them, preach the word of God, where in the place where there's not much signal or it's really uncomfortable because it's so far away from the city. Because those people, they also are going to hell if they don't get to know about Jesus. And I have learned, if God was merciful to me, being a sinner, if God loved me so much and was merciful for me, not giving me the punishment I deserve, how can I not be merciful to others? How can I love others the way Jesus loved them? How can I be merciful with them? With every drug addict, every drunk, every homeless. You know, sometimes we think we're good Christians, but if I see a homeless, I don't even get close to him to share the gospel with them. I'm not even mercy. I don't have mercy with them. I really like the attitude of, what is it, Brother John? Stephanie's husband?
David.
Oh, David. Already changed his name. Brother David said, I like to give up tracts. We should love give up tracts. Let people know they have a Savior that has mercy to them. Yeah. That really love them. Today I went to the bank. I said, the guy, because Brother David gave me a tract. I need more of those. It said, Jesus calling you. But I told them, look, in the corner on top, you can see the battery is on. It's almost done. So you better answer the call because it's going to turn off. He started laughing. I said, but it's serious. Answer to Jesus. He loves you. He has mercy for you. How many sins we do against God during the day? We could be, if Jesus treat us like he treats his people in the Old Testament, we'll be dead already. Yeah. But his mercy covers that because he loves us so much. And he shows his mercy. On Romans 6, 23, we can see his mercy towards us. We deserve punishment, but he said, I have a gift for you. That gift is eternal life. Mercy represents the compassionate treatment given to a person beyond their merits and virtue. Of the atonement of Jesus Christ, what virtue we have as humans. What merits we could have to gain heaven. I say we don't have none. But Jesus had that mercy. So when we recognize him as a Savior, his blood can cover us. And in his mercy, give us that salvation, that eternal life due through his atonement, his sacrifice. That is why we must, and I say we because I started doing it also, we must support missionaries that go to other parts in the world to preach the gospel. I'm supporting two guys. pastor told me, hey, you haven't started your church, you're supporting missionaries already? I said, yes. If I want the blessing of God in my life, I have to support those that are going somewhere else farther than I can go to preach the gospel. Because those, the ones they're going to be reaching, are going to receive the mercy of God in their life. But to do that, we have to be merciful as God is with us. The third reason is because hell is real. In Revelations 20, 14 and 15, we can see that hell is real. Oh, let's go there. Let's read it. I don't want to try to say it in English because I'm not good at saying verses in English. In English, verses in English from the Spanish to English, it changed so much. Revelations 20, 14 and 15. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So we see that hell is a place where people will not be having fun. I have a question for all of us. How many people one day in heaven, on the big trial that's going to be, how many people you and I know is going to be cast into hell because we didn't speak to them about Jesus? Because their name wasn't written on the book of life because we didn't share the gospel with them. How many of them? The Bible says that we're going to have blood in our hands. I do have blood in my hands. When we went back on, what is it, November? Que regresamos a Panamá? Last year in November, we went back to Panama. And we went to our house there in the mission field. And one afternoon, we went walking towards the small town there. And we went to a park, just walking 10 minutes. And it was late at night, probably 8 p.m. of night, evening. And we got there, and then suddenly a group of youth people or guys with two guys and a girl, they got there in their bicycles. Apparently they were practicing their bicycle route, that sport. And the Holy Ghost told me to talk to them. Preach them the gospel. Tell them about Jesus. I said, no, they're not going to listen. They're having fun. They're doing their own things. And he kept on pushing me to talk to them about Jesus. They need to hear about me. And I said, no, look, they're busy. They're doing their stuff. They're not going to listen to me. So even though the Holy Spirit was telling me to, I did like most of Christians do. I ignored them. And we went home. So we have to depart on Friday. We depart to the capital again to then other few days later take our flight back to the States. But once we got to the capital, we weren't even on my father-in-law's house yet. When my wife took her phone, she checked the news and she said, you know, honey, today a young guy died. And I said, so? It's not just any young guy. It was one of the guys that were with the bicycle that night with us. And you didn't talk to them about Jesus. Holy Spirit did this to me. Are you waiting for what? To let people go to hell or talking about me? What are you waiting for? Are you not waiting for me to come and smack you? So you can obey and do whatever I'm telling you to do? That guy is in hell now, for sure. Yeah, he's in hell. Because I was selfish. How many people are going to be there that day going to hell because we were selfish? Not sharing them the gospel. Hell is real. You can see it on the story of the rich and Lazarus. Rich wasn't he wasn't having fun. He said, tell Lazarus with the tip of the finger, give me water. It says he was being tormented. That's why we have to preach the gospel. Because right now there's people being tormented on hell. And the last one, because he gave us example on preaching the word of God. I think 99.1% of God ministry on the earth, he did preaching the kingdom of God. Telling people that there was a kingdom of God in heaven for them. That there was a salvation. He came to the world to get what was lost. It was funny because some of the disciples, like Jude, how you say Jude? Jude? Judas? Thought that he came to overrule over the Romans. No, he came to get what was lost, save the lost. And he did it by preaching the word of God. I love reading the book of Matthew because he consciously rebuked the Pharisees about everything he teaches that has to do with the kingdom of God. He came to preach the word of God. There is an example about it. You can let's go to John chapter 1. Let's go to John chapter 1. Oh, I just passed it. Okay, John chapter 1, 9 to 11. Chapter 1, verse 9 to 11. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Now why this happened? Because he was preaching the kingdom of God. They rejected him. Right? If Jesus, being the Son of God, was rejected by preaching the kingdom of God, but if he obeyed God by doing so, what God told him to do, that's going and preach the gospel, preach the kingdom of God, save the lost. If he, being Jesus Christ himself, did it, and he commands us to do it, why we're not doing it then? Why we're not sharing the gospel? Why we're not preaching to others that there is a Savior? You can find that on Philippians 2, 5, 8, where it says that Jesus left his kingdom, all his riches and glory to come for you and me. And he obeys God until death of the cross. So, why we're not preaching the gospel? Why are we not going? God said on the Bible, he says the disciple is necessary that we go to other townships, other places to preach the kingdom of God. You know, it's not only about living a good Christian's life. It's not only about taking care of our testimony, which are good to do, are excellent things to do. But it's also about telling others about a God that wants to save them. Telling others that they have a Savior, just like we got to meet him. Telling others about that loving God. We can't forget about preaching the gospel to others. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for every piece of scripture we have. To not only read it, but to put in practice. We ask you, Lord, that the same way you touch our heart, my heart, you talk to others too. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor.